Hi, this is Johnny Moore in London, and welcome to my podcast with Tom Gariello in New York. I guess you're in New York at the moment, Tom, is that right?
I'm actually not, Johnny. I'm here in lovely Connecticut today.
Well, that sounds restful and suitably
rested. Idyllic. It's idyllic is what it is here.
Great. So Tom and I, we decided to do a podcast this afternoon, even though we really didn't know what it would be about. But this morning, something sort of hit me for the first time. I think Tom's been following more closely for a while. And we thought, well, let's talk about that and see where we end up. And that, in this case, would be the kerfuffle. I think that's a nice English word to describe it. The kerfuffle that has arisen online over some videos made by a guy called Lauren Feldman, which are mocking the videos produced by a guy named Shell Israel. And Tom, you've been following a bit more closely than me. What have you seen unfold?
Well, it's been probably the most fascinating dust up that I've seen yet in the social media world, and a lot of the characteristics of the players and the media in which we now find ourselves connecting and communicating have contributed to that. I mean, first of all, Shell Israel, you know Shell, Johnny, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Shell and I go back several years when Shell was involved in doing summaries and reports of conferences. And Shell's been around the Valley for a long time and co-wrote, along with Robert Scoble, their book about blogging and corporations, The Red Couch. So Shell's been around for a long time and is a very, he's been an influential blogger and an influential thinker. Now, Lauren Feldman, on the other hand, I didn't know too much about until I started seeing him pop up on Seismic. I've been involved with Seismic since its earliest pre-alpha moments. And as was Lauren. And Lauren came on to the Seismic scene in a very, let's call it, distinctive way. Essentially saying, this sucks. I hate Seismic. Seismic, by the way, was started, Johnny, you know, by Loic Lemire.
Yeah, yeah.
And a couple of other partners who are also French, as Loic is. And so a lot of the people on Seismic are French, and particularly in the early pre-alpha days, a lot of them, a high percentage of them were French. And Malik, I mean, and Lauren would come on and go, I hate French people. And they stink, they're smelly, they're cheesy. You know, he would come on, and, you know, I grew up in New York City. I grew up with a lot of Jews in my neighborhood. I went to school with a lot of Jews, and New York Jewish humor has always been something that for me was kind of part of my world, but it's not a part of the world for a lot of other people. And so here was Lauren coming on in this very New York Jewish kind of way. And, you know, for example, he went to a funeral once and had a video of he and his girlfriend coming back from the funeral saying, the goy should bury their dead faster. Why do you let them sit around for 3 days? I mean, it was classic. It was really classic kind of humor. But, you know, it's not going to a lot of people aren't going to get it. So that's what happened on Seismic. A lot of people hated Lauren. And then in the meanwhile, Lauren was also on Twitter a lot, and he'd be Twittering and, you know, saying all kinds of things like he does. And then eventually got into this thing with Shell. Now, there are people who will tell you that there's a backstory between Lauren and Robert Scoble, and that's why this is going on. But whatever. All of what it is that here we have this huge dust-up where Lauren's been he now has a puppet of Shell, and he went ahead and by the way, you know, got shellisrael.com and started posting these puppet videos as Shell doing interviews, because Shell recently started Fast Company TV, or I guess it's called Global Neighborhoods TV, whatever, but it's a Fast Company sponsored video series, and Lauren's been ruthless
yeah.
in his satire of Shell. So that's the background.
Yeah, and I mean, I'd seen these vague references to puppets occasionally in my Twitter feed, but not quite got what they were about. And then something this morning led me to stumble upon the videos. And so that was my point of entry, was the puppet videos. Before I'd really seen Shell's videos that were being mocked, before I knew anything about the thing with Loic and Seismic. And I just have to say that they're very, very, very funny. They're just hilarious without even knowing the person or what they are taking the mickey out of. They're just inherently very funny. And the style of humor that you described, Tom, I guess is just incredibly well suited to coming out of a mouth of a puppet, because as somebody commented in one of the comments on them, there's something about puppets which I think are a bit like masks. They give us a different kind of permission, I think, to out the more shadow side of our personality. And I think speaking to the shadow, if you like, is one of the great things that comedy does. And I think one of the things that makes those videos so funny is that they are so outrageous because, yeah, partly it's because it's taking the mickey out of Shell, and it's always fun, I guess, to see someone with some notional position of authority having the mickey taken. I think it's not really about Shell. I mean, it's kind of like any kind of pomposity is what we laugh at when we laugh at those videos, in much the same way that we laugh at anything from Monty Python. So, you know, you can understand why Shell might take it personally. I'm not sure how I'd react if someone did it to me. But, you know, you come in and it's like hard not to laugh at them. It's hard not to find them absolutely hilarious.
Well, you know, you hit the nail right on the head. And I've gone back and forth several times myself on my own reaction to this. And I think that's exactly what Lauren is trying to accomplish. I think he's... It occurred to me yesterday that Lauren's, if you will, his spiritual mentor is Lenny Bruce. You know, I think you know, he's very scatological. You know, he says anything, a very a transgressive kind of guy, much like Lenny Bruce. And with a lot of the same sensibility as Lenny Bruce. And as you say, pomposity in any form is like a magnet for Lauren.
Yeah. And to me, it doesn't really matter whether Shell is pompous or not, because Shell doesn't strike me as, you know, particularly pompous.
Yes.
But that's not the point. It doesn't have to. The character doesn't have to be that accurate to be funny. It's just the notion of authority, I think, being, well, dissatisfying to me. And if we're going to, you know, do that theatre critic thing of identifying comic influences, the other one that I see in some of those is Eddie Izzard.
Oh,
Eddie,
yeah.
Izzard has a great line in one of his shows where he takes on the persona of a squirrel and imagines what a squirrel might be worrying about, and you see this squirrel squirreling on nuts, and then he picks up how squirrels have that thing where their eyes dart to one side as if they suddenly remembered something, and he has this line, the squirrel's going, "Oh, I've left the gas on," and there's the pause, and just with immaculate timing, he goes, "Oh, of course not, I'm a fucking squirrel." And you can see in the Shell Israel interviews with the rooster and the frog that idea being used. There is Shell trying to discuss Facebook with a frog, and the frog's trying to explain, "I'm just a fucking frog."
Well, I know, and you see, that's what I mean. You know, Billy Connolly too comes to mind as another one of these kinds of characters. You know, from a comic influence standpoint. I think you're right. It's impossible not to laugh at so much of what goes on, and yet it's also, for me, I felt a good deal of empathy for Shell in watching the way, because he took up Lauren's. I guess you can't call it anything but attack. he took up this attack in a way that I watched it happen on Twitter, and at one point I actually posted a tweet myself that said, "Uh-oh, the fecal material is about to hit the ventilation system," because he really went, you know, he was kind of going after. I think it was right at the tweet when Shell said he was hiring a private investigator.
Yeah.
And looking into a lawyer, that's when I thought, oh, this is not going to go well.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. I guess the side reflection is I think Twitter will encourage that kind of thing. That if it were a blog post, you might think about it for 5 minutes, but a tweet you'll do more spontaneously. So I think that's Twitter's minor contribution to the conflagration.
And more than minor, huh?
You're
absolutely right.
It's played a great role. Thanks, Twitter. You contributed to the public entertainment enormously by that. And then I think also, come on, guys, let's just chill. It's not that big a deal at all. So, I mean, I've read one or two posts. I followed it up this morning. I read some of the posts. And people going on about how, well, you know, this is very bad for Shell's brand.
Right.
You know, mostly I find these days, generally things that are said within 10 or 15 words either side of the word brand are pretty stupid. And, like, look, it doesn't matter. So Shell Israel wrote a book on Naked Conversations, and now he hasn't done the textbook response to an attack. So what? So he's human. So that wouldn't stop me using him for advice. He's just human. You know, that's all we are, and that's all that that Lauren is. It's just a very human thing. It's just what we did at school, isn't it? There's nothing, you know, nothing more than that to this. I mean, school write scandal sheets about our schoolmates and our teachers and gossip and lampoon and grotesquely exaggerate, and isn't that just very, very human?
It is, and it happens in the same week in which, you know, 8 girls attacked a girl in Florida and beat her up. And so they're going to be, you know, I don't know if you've seen that video, Johnny, but it's pretty disturbing.
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, so here we have, you know, kind of a continuum of behavior that really does mirror life, right? And yet the point is, what you know, here are these girls who beat up this girl, and somehow expected, I don't know, that this wasn't gonna get them in trouble, or it wasn't gonna matter because they were beating her up and posting on the internet as a video.
Yeah.
You know that, and I'm certainly not comparing what Lauren's been doing to with Shell as beating him up in and making a video of it. You know,
right.
There I think is a great distinction between the two.
Yeah. Well, and I guess I would say, I haven't followed that particular video very closely, but the clip, I saw the clip being played and some of the analysis around it, and I guess, you know, some people will be going, oh, wasn't the internet dreadful, this would never have happened, blah, 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 and I would say, well, you say that, but, you know, what they did was vile, but in their foolishness, they've allowed the internet to finger them, haven't they?
Yeah, they did, and, you know, I've been, because of all the experience and that I've had at YouTube, been watching how, you know, things cross over the line. And the idea that there is no line on the internet is kind of what a lot of people will tell you. It's just the internet. And so no matter what we do, it's just the internet. We're just doing it, as many people on the internet would say, we're just doing it for the lulls, you know. It's just all about laughs. And so I can understand when people see Lauren engaging in the kind of satire, scathing as it is, thinking that, well, you know, it's this is part of the slippery slope, right? That takes us to, you know, girls beating up girls and posting videos on the internet. But I do think that there is a big distinction between those two.
Yeah, and I guess I think that it's funny, slippery slope. I remember I had to write an essay at Oxford about the slippery slope in philosophy. I can't remember. I think I concluded that slippery slope, there was no evidence that it was slippery, even though there was a sign that it was a slope. And I think it's not, in the end, rules and prescriptions that keep us moral. I think it's the way we collectively choose to respond to things. So, you know, it's not that there's a line written in law so much as, well, we react to things, and the public reacted to that violent video in one way, and it made it pretty clear where it stood, and it's reacting in an altogether different way, and appropriately so, to what Lauren's done.
There are still people who are, you know, very upset about what Lauren's done with Shell,
right.
And
right.
You know, might be less willing to see those interactions as fundamentally different from the video interactions. I don't know that that's the case, but I see some very strong reactions like I said, I've kind of I get queasy at some of them and laugh at some of them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, people are talking about bullying, and I go, well, you know, that's a subjective judgment, I guess, and mine is different. You know, maybe I'm partly influenced, Tom, by being British, where I think we have a really long tradition of this kind of thing, and we had a hugely successful TV series here in the 80s, I think it was, called Spitting Image, which did this puppet thing with the same, if not more, ruthlessness to public figures. We had politicians who were caricatured on Spitting Image, for example, as a slug. One became a slug on Spitting Image. Another became almost a neo-Nazi in a leather jacket on a motorbike in Spitting Image. Another one had his puppet on Spitting Image that was unable to stop spitting in all directions. It was a ruthless lampoon, and in the same comic tradition as I think Lauren has tapped into, and you know, my reaction to that was the same as, well, you know, pomposity is a fair target, as I say, real or imagined in some ways.
Well, yeah, and I think the whole business of the A-list is the target, I believe, of Lauren's satire. I mean, look at what he did with Loic. He's made several videos about Seismic. You know, saying that Seismic was, you know, their recent acquisition of Twirl was just a way to delay going out of business, and then the next thing you know, he's there in a video as the shell puppet with Loic.
Shell puppet in News Loic, and Loic comes out of it kind of glowing, doesn't he?
With absolutely.
His I'm going to call it a shtick, but I don't mean that in a mean way. Loic's fantastic, nice guy shtick, you know, completely intact.
Yes.
And kind of getting in the spirit of it, which I found great. Yeah, Harrington's playing whatever game he's playing as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. So this whole A-list thing, and now, you know, here's Lauren out there in the West Coast. He's going now to visit the latest to be here. Now we're following this as an ongoing show. The puppet is about to go to L.A., and he's going to have Jason Calacanis on. Well, you know that's going to be hilarious.
Yeah, well, it sounds good, and I mean, I guess the thing about the whole A-list, as I say, it doesn't really matter whether Shell's on the A-list, whether Shell's affecting to be on the A-list. It really is neither here nor there. This puppet has now acquired a life of its own, it almost independent of Shell, really.
Oh yeah,
it's now vested with. Well, again, at the risk of sounding a little pretentious, it's kind of vested with Lauren's personal animus, is what it is. And you can laugh joyfully at that. And it's not really about, in some ways, not really about Shell at all. We now have this caricature. It's like the great impressionists in England will create a very brilliant impression of a politician, and will often give that politician a catchphrase that the politician has never actually used. So I don't know if I've heard Shell say fascinating, but fascinating is now, you know, the great comic line of the puppet Shell, and is delightful in its own right. It's not even about Shell.
That's S-A-P.
Yeah, it's not about Shell, and what I think is having the piss taken out of it is any of us, as you know, and I think of myself as being in the us in this regard, who dabble in offering advice or in some way or other and around social media about, no, none of us taking any of ourselves too seriously about this whole social media thing.
I agree.
It's a caricature of taking it too seriously. And that's, of course, in the great tradition of satire. There was another fantastically funny, brilliant, brilliant comedy show in the UK about 5 years ago, which really went to the line. It was a mock current affairs program about paedophilia. But what it was really mocking was the way that the press sensationalized paedophilia. And it did it in the most ruthless but very, very funny way.
Yeah.
So it was mocking the media, the way in which the media grotesquely exaggerated and took one small, albeit disturbing incident and somehow made it as if no one was ever safe. But, of course, then the tabloid reaction to this was to say what an appalling, immoral, disgraceful program it was that this man was supporting paedophilia. It actually did exactly what he was mocking them for doing.
Yes. And you know,
I don't know if that's life imitating art or art imitating life, but it became a mockery of itself.
And when quote art happens in the real time kind of way that it's happening in social media world today, a very small corner of the world, but can quickly kind of blow up and become much more of a widespread phenomenon because of the connectedness and the technologies and everything that's available, that suddenly something like this could become something more widespread in its interest than just, you know, the few thousand of us who are following this on Twitter.
Yeah.
I think your point about the history of satire in the UK versus what we have here in the U.S. is another very important factor in this, Johnny. It's no accident that Monty Python was a British show, and we have the Smothers Brothers, you know, kind of a, if you look at you know, and going back 30, 40 years, we don't have a great tradition of that kind of satirical comedy here in America. And certainly not with that kind of Punch and Judy puppet history that.
Because it's funny you mentioned Punch and Judy, because, again, the puppet show is straight out of that tradition. There's a character in Punch and Judy that the Punch and Judy guys do have those strangulated voices, don't they?
Absolutely.
Oh, Mr. Punch, what are you doing? You know, you can see that that's just the sort of soprano version of the Shell Israel puppet, isn't it?
Oh, fascinating! Yes, we do.
And there's the Pepper Potts in Monty Python have that same strangulated voice.
I know. Look, I think the buttons that get pushed when we experience this kind of an interchange, I think, is the story.
Yeah. Well, for me, I enjoyed having those buttons pushed today.
Yeah. Well, I alternately think it's hilarious and get queasy. You know, I have moments where I go, oh, that was, you know.
Right.
That felt cruel.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. I guess I can see that intellectually. I think I'm just laughing too much to be that compassionate this afternoon, and I may live to regret that.
No, I think we all know that moment this, it just really is hilarious. But then I think there is this shadow side that also,
yeah,
you know, there is this, I do feel that whatever mistakes Shell made in the way he engaged in this have brought this thing to where it is also.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. But sometimes I really do feel sorry for him.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine.
I don't disagree.
I think he'll be fine. He definitely hasn't sunk it. He hasn't lowered himself in my estimation at all. He showed himself to be very human. That's fine. It's no big deal.
Yeah, I think it's been some of the commentators who have, the way the commentators have portrayed it, that kind of made me cringe a little bit. I mean, Arrington wrote some things that I thought, wow, you know, he really said, you know, basically Shell's really hurt himself with this and so on.
Oh, yeah. I don't buy that at all. That actually, in a way, seems to be even the most pompous thing in the whole damn affair, is the whole stuff about, oh, Aaron Mudd is very, no, he's very inconsistent, he's a sort of consultant. It's like, oh, come on, get a life, get real. It's just not that big a deal.
Well,
so on that note, Tom, shall we call it a day there?
I think we've said way more than
said way more, and we're in danger of inviting satire ourselves, taking it seriously.
Oh, God, I think that's possible, Mr. John.
Hey, well, you know, maybe a Tom Gariello puppet is just around the corner.
I can
God forbid a Johnny Moore one, what a ghastly thought.
I can hardly imagine.
Tom, it's been real.
A lot of fun, Johnny, as always.
Take care.
You too.